Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Great stuff, Michael Corcoran. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to head to the Paralympic Games in Paris and Joanna Reardon shortly on this programme. And I can't wait for that. It's truly a spectacle every 4 years. But first this afternoon, parents of children with additional needs say they're becoming increasingly worried on the eve of the new school year due to a lack of post-primary school places. It comes with teachers and principals also anxious due to a shortage in therapeutic and clinical supports in school for young people with complex needs. Our reporter Barry Lenehan is with me here in the studio. And Barry, all this week on Drive Time, we've been looking at access to services and education for children with special needs, and listeners and people have been driving these stories really for us.
That's it. On Monday, Cormac, remember you spoke to Disabilities Minister Anne Rabbitt as she launched the government's new autism strategy, this including 80 clear actions to be implemented over an 18-month period. But as she spoke, parents, listeners at home got in touch with their droves by text, by email, to tell us of their difficulties in gaining access to services for their children with special needs. Especially we heard from parents in Cork who are protesting at how St Killian's Special School in the north of the city, the largest special school in Munster, is without therapists for 4 years. Speech and language and occupational therapy vital in these settings to help these young people communicate, to have the best as possible in life. And as I outlined to you yesterday, how that situation in Cork is a hot political issue by the banks of the Lee, prompting interventions from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, and how the principal of the school only learned she wouldn't be getting therapy hours in the near future from the minister as she spoke to you on this show on Monday. More people, more listeners at home, they also got in touch.
I think she said she was shocked and disappointed as well on hearing it on Drive Time. And Barry, during your report yesterday, more people got in touch. What did they tell you?
Yeah, one man said he's to emigrate to Australia with his family in the coming weeks due to difficulties in gaining access to services in Ireland for his child with autism. A principal also got in touch upon hearing the situation in Cork. This being Louise Egan, the principal of New Court Special School in Bray, County Wicklow, in the Taoiseach Simon Harris's own constituency. There are 106 students with complex needs and moderate intellectual disabilities. And over the last 5 years, the principal there, Louise Egan, she says there's been a huge shift in the profile of students who are attending. Students attending with even more complex needs than ever before. But at the same time, she says there's a lack of clinical services. The school has never had full clinical services, she said, and a lack of those therapeutic services as well. And I've been speaking to Louise to hear more.
We are crying out for the clinical supports. Our families are crying out for the clinical supports. You know, school is a very short time for them. They usually come to us at around age 8. We cater for 5 to 18, but most of our students are coming at age 8 or 9, having had very little interventions from an early age. And so, you know, if you don't capture or get in with the interventions at that age, you're left with students who are extremely limited in their ability to cope. That manifests as behaviour management then.
A lack of clinicians, a lack of therapies mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And the behaviour is becoming all the time yeah. more challenging from the students mm-hmm. who attend the school. What's the impact yeah. On that for staff at the school in particular?
The impact on the staff is huge in terms of they're on the front line of the behaviour assaults. Assaults are daily in the school. We record behaviours daily on behaviour record, and they are behaviours of concern, not just low level behaviours. We're talking about, you know, staff assaults on their head, hits to their head, bites, their hair being pulled to the point where their scalps are, you know, bleeding. So that's the impact on the staff, obviously, is huge. And that it results in huge absences for staff and their certified sick leave. You know, they only have a certain number of assault leave days as well. So they have to then take on more leave. The trauma as well that it causes for staff having to return to work into the same environment where they were assaulted without the clinic clinical supports. That's a huge difficulty for us to manage as well. But also for the parents, the students are assaulting staff because of their lack of ability to communicate effectively what their needs are. Because of their SLT supports are not there, their OT supports are not there. So as a result of their assaultive behaviours, they are being penalised, they are being sanctioned because they are being suspended and expelled from the school. You know, we've had an expulsion last year from the school because of a student assaulting staff members. And the parents are left at home then with the child. There are no other placements for them. Special school is their last resort anyway. You know, that's the impact it has on the parents and the students themselves as well.
And obviously people trying to do their best at the school. But are those students really being given then the best opportunity in life?
They are already struggling. As soon as they come to us, they have struggled with fitting in, with being included, with the mainstream system failing, you know, for them because they don't have the resources either. They come to us traumatized. I really feel that we're at a very low ebb here with our supports for children with disabilities.
In your 20 years at the school, have things ever been this bad?
No. We would never have recorded the high number of assaultive behaviours or behaviours of concern. We would have had low-level behaviours and, you know, students who had a mild general learning disability would have had kind of, you know, behaviours that could be managed in a normal kind of setting, a school setting, and teachers would be trained around that. But we don't have skill set that the clinicians have.
So says Louise Egan, who's principal of Newcourt School, special school in Bray. Barry Lenhan is with me still, of course. Other parents got in touch. Barry, what did they say?
Highlighting issues around school places. An issue highlighted on the front page of the Irish Times today, where one parent said her child had been refused a place by 19 schools, while one special school had 53 applications for three places this year. One parent who got in touch to highlight this matter to us yesterday was Emer McNally in Louth. Her 11-year-old son Miles has autism and a moderate learning disability, diagnosed when he was 3 years of age. Also issues with his most recent primary school, Emer saying more accountability needed around there. But Emer and other parents in Louth, around 40 parents, have come together to form the All Abilities Action Alliance for Louth, highlighting a lack of secondary school places in the county for children with special needs. And Emer has been telling me more.
He will be, I suppose, looking for a secondary school place this time next year. We'll be hoping to, you know, that he'll be going into secondary school. But myself and all the members of For All are very, very, very concerned about secondary school places for children with special needs in Louth. We know there was a situation this year where students who had been enrolled and had been given the place and the parents were supporting them to transition to this secondary school, were suddenly told that the places weren't there. They weren't told why, they weren't given any information, they were just left suddenly without a place. Now, in the end, that was sorted out. One of our parents here, you know, she described it as 2 months of horror and despair. Putting aside everything else that's going on in her life to try to sort this out, find out why the school place that she had for her child and the other children suddenly disappeared. She couldn't get any answers from any of the agencies. She was being, you know, sent from pillar to post and everyone was blaming everyone else. And in the end, a political intervention, I believe, was made. In the end, the school place, the class did open and the children were able to go. But why that had to happen is, I think, what's mystifying for us as parents. You know, as I said, my son was diagnosed when he was very young. They know these children are in primary school. It's not a mystery. We know that there are children in primary school who are in special needs classes, who are going to need post-primary classes. We are extremely concerned about this particular issue here in Louth at the moment.
How big is the dearth of secondary school places for children with special education needs in the area at the moment? What sort of figures are we talking?
It's difficult to get exact numbers on exactly how many children will be going in, but if we look at the number of primary school special classes, so currently in Louth there are 86. And now it's 71 of those are autism classes, such as the one that my son is in. And the others might be for, say, behavioural issues or something else. And if we look at the post-primary, there's 25 autism classes in post-primary system. But I think just looking at that, that gives me a lot of concern around, you know, where are these children going to go? We're not asking for something that isn't a basic human right. This is their basic right to access educational opportunities. I did listen yesterday to the special school, St. Killian's, around the therapies that should be in place there. You know, it really is fundamental for children to be able to pay attention, to be regulated, to listen, to engage in activities that the teachers have planned for them. They have to have those therapies in place. If they're dysregulated, they're never going to be in a position to learn. So these are basic fundamentals that, when done, are not that onerous. They're not rocket science. We as parents have been learning how to do this since our children got their diagnoses. And we really feel that, you know, the policies, the aspiration for children to be included is great. Where is the implementation? It's mystifying for us, I think, as parents, that I would love to have someone from the department explain to us why these provisions aren't being put in place when they know that they're needed.
And that's Eimear McNally. What is being said by various government departments in all of this, Barry?
Well, this issue is becoming ever more political with a general election on the horizon. The People Before Profit, for instance, alleging this afternoon that children with special needs are being locked out of education. Now, this is something that the government would obviously reject. The Disabilities Department, the Health Department, saying more than ever is being done for children with additional needs, whilst the Department of Education would argue that more than 2.7 billion euro has been invested in special education already this year, more than a quarter of the entire education budget. And this is providing 400 new special classes in mainstream school, 300 additional special school places. But let's see what happens in the weeks and months ahead.
Let's see indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Barry Lennon. And thank you very much indeed to the parents and the families and the listeners who are contacting us. We really do care on this programme about sharing your experiences and amplifying them as well. Continue the momentum is my appeal to you. You can do so by email drivetime@rte.ie.